Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Welcome to our show in episode, woohoo, 497, closing in. As we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her muscles, and even her fat. Oh my goodness, we couldn't be talking about Dr. Peek's favorite thing, body comp. We are, and it's going to be a great show. Before we begin, just know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, with a special gift for women. The new award-winning Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, ouch, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. It's an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, run on over to your local health food store, go to Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, and even Solaray.com. And if you go to the website, use HER20 as your promo code for 20% off. All righty. Here's a reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show, because the Her Podcast team loves your feedback. Okay, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
So you want to take good care of that beautiful body of yours. You want to exercise. Oh my goodness, is it another new year coming up on us? Ooh, every single day is a perfect day to regroup. So I'm not one of those New Year's types, because you know what those statistics look like. Does the word pathetic mean anything to anybody out there? So, you know, I want to rustle up one of my colleagues from the American College of Sports Medicine, a fellow. And this is Dr. Renee Rogers, who has a PhD. She is a senior scientist at the University of Kansas Medical Center. She's an expert in biobehavioral intervention design, with a focus on relevant engagement approaches that blends her 20 plus years of experience working in exercise physiology, behavioral change, and obesity treatment. Just kind of like putting them all together in one big stew. Renee, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Peek. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
All right. So here we are. And the start of another year. Now, everyone knows my gig. I don't care what day it is, what month it is. It's a perfect time to regroup. So I'm not one of these January 1st types. That being said, I also know a lot of people, you know, who've actually been pretty successful at kind of saying, okay, we're done with this, you know, January 1st. So, you know, something, what I say is do whatever works for you. But right now, what we'd like to do is bring you up to date on the best of the best of the best in terms of what to do with your beautiful body, right? In terms of physical activity. Notice I didn't say the E word, physical activity, and why this is so important. We're going to stick with women. This is, after all, called Her. We're going to stick with women, and we want to say, no matter where you are in your exercise journey, A, if you're kind of already doing it, this is a refresher course. B, if you're like, oh my God, I have no flipping clue as to what to do, then you came to the right place. So one of the things I'd like Renee to do is to really take us through the thought process on this, you know, and realizing that women get an F minus in doing this appropriately half the time, because they want to do it, oh no, here comes a P word, perfectly. You know how I feel about that P word. All right, Renee, take it away.
Yeah, you know, I love that we're going down this path right now, because it's so relevant. And I think there is no perfect. And you're exactly right. We've got to let go of this space of perfection. So when I talk to, you know, whether it's a research participant or I'm working with folks every day on helping to establish a healthy relationship with physical activity, especially women, because it always feels like we're trying to fit into a mold, right? I'm supposed to do something exactly this way, like you said, perfect, or I heard that this is the solution, this is the hot topic. And what I preach, if anyone's ever heard me before talk about this, is I want us to get away from thinking method-centered, and I want us to go back to being person-centered. And what I mean by that is, the reality is exercise, physical activity is an amazing thing. It can be medicine. We love it. I love it. I study it every day. But the reality is we need to switch our thinking to make sure that whatever method of exercise we choose, whatever type of physical activity we want to do, that it is serving us. It is serving you. It is making you feel and function your very, very best every day. I know that's extraordinarily different from what you've heard. And even sometimes when you go, you know, and see your clinician and they talk to you, they say, start exercising or go do this method. Or if it's muscle health, go out and resistance train. Those are very big and broad things. And sometimes that in of itself is a very, very intimidating conversation. So I really want, and I'm hoping that as a field, I think it's an exciting time. We're starting, while we've known there's lots of different ways that you can do this, sometimes we aren't sending the right message. Exercise and physical activity should be serving you and what makes you feel and function your very best.
I love it. That's so you-centric, you know, and women, I know what you're thinking. It's like, but self is a four-letter word. I'm supposed to think about myself and not the other 28,000 people in my life and the guy down the street I don't even know and the dogs and the... Stop it already, girlfriends. This is all about you. Gift yourself with this extraordinary thing you do, you're going to do, called MOVE. Now, let's go through the M-O-V-E of MOVE, because you wrote a beautiful piece about that I just love. So when you think of MOVE, now remember, MOVE is another four-letter word. No, you're supposed to take care of yourself. Now, that's a stat order, non-negotiable, and there's no discussion. So now that we've clarified that, let's go through MOVE.
Yeah, no, of course. So when we think of MOVE, you can think of it as a exercise prescription standpoint. We can talk about it this way. And MOVE is thinking about minutes per week, potentially. How many minutes per week are you doing? I like to say over the course of time or over a period of time, because I think sometimes we're always looking at each day, again, using that P word, being perfect. So if it doesn't happen today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow's over. So we've traditionally, even in our research, but as I counsel people in general, we like to think about it over the course of a week. Week, 7 days, seven opportunities, seven beautiful opportunities to move and to get those minutes per week in. So when we talk about minutes, there's been a lot of research out there that is now showing us that every minute can count. Actually, the new physical activity guidelines, I shouldn't say new, we're coming up on the next round here showing up, but the most recent physical activity guidelines tell us that every minute counts. We want to be careful with some of that, right? Because there's value in doing a higher intensity at certain times that gives you different benefits compared to just getting up and moving more. But for the most part, if we're moving in a way that we feel that that intensity is greater than if we were just kind of walking around in general, we're probably getting some benefit. More research still needs to be done, better designed clinical trials to look at this. But I look at this as a win, as a starting point to say that this is a great opportunity for you to notice every time you get up, how do you feel? And after you're done just getting up and moving around, my guess is you're probably going to feel better. So how many minutes of just getting up and giving your body that beautiful stretch out from standing up and just moving around, getting the blood flowing, those minutes are important too. Don't say that they're nothing minutes. They are minutes. Now, when you can do some moderate or up that ante just a little bit more, maybe it's a brisk walk or getting going, if you can do that in 10-minute bouts, that's really beneficial. We've known that for years. So minutes can be accumulated one by one to help you just feel better in the moment, get up and stretch, move around a little bit, get your blood flowing. But you can also do it in structured bouts of 10 minutes or greater, and those add up over the course of the week. So that's our M and that's our O.
I love the M, that's minutes per week. Now I'm adding to that, right? A little frosting on this minute cake. And that is, at all times throughout the day, just everything counts when you get up and move. So if you're going up the stairs, if you're doing just functional stuff, schlepping the groceries back into the house, making sure to take the stairs on the escalator at the shopping mall, all the rest of it, everything counts. It's like pennies or nickels or quarters in a piggy bank. And it just, I want you to know that you don't have to do some kind of like, and I quote, exercise. And that's all that counts. And for that matter, for all of you little people sitting on your little feminine behinds right now, you know, working and doing your thing, get up. I have a rule, every 30 minutes, if it's humanly possible, stand up, stretch, move around a little bit, find a way to do that, because the worst thing you could do is just sit there with your behind absolutely plastered to your chair for hour after hour after hour. So kind of integrating this with your work schedule and the nuttiness that goes on with all of that, just get up. I mean, I don't sit down at the gate of an airport. I'm moving around. I'm stretching, I'm moving my legs, walking a bit. I'm just making sure that knowing I may be sitting down in an airplane for like an hour. And so I'm kind of priming myself for, And even when I'm in an airplane, I'm the bane of the existence of those flight attendants as I get up and kind of go over and just hang out a little bit in the front cabin. All right. So that's M, minutes per week. How about the O? What does that stand for?
Yeah, just thinking about it over the course of time, right? So when we talk about how we spread out those minutes, it doesn't always have to be in one bulk in your day. And for some of us, I understand it. I'm one of those people that I sometimes like to get up personally and do some of my physical activity for the day, especially when I know my day's crazy. But the reality is there's many days where that doesn't happen. And my body says to me, Renee, you need to sleep today, because that's so important that we listen to our body and not feel guilty when we don't get up and realize that it's not over. We haven't missed the window. To all the points that you made that are right on, we can get up and move throughout our day. And that over the course of the day matters. It's not all about doing it at one time, or we can do one of those 10-minute bouts that I mentioned at lunchtime, or take that break after a meeting and just enjoy it. And what you'll find is if you start to really think about it over the course of your day, you can move more. You can move your body more than you actually don't, which is a really positive thing. And then I like to take it the next level and not just think of over the course of a day, but think about it over the course of a week. And that's where we get into really achieving those public health guidelines of trying to get to maybe 150 minutes of movement a week. And if we're going for weight management guidelines, potentially we might be going a little bit higher. That's some of that's being challenged, I think, a little bit more now as we think about different spins on that, which maybe we'll tap into a little bit later. But I think it's just a really great reminder for us to remember that it does not have to be done all at one time. We don't always have to be in the gym to do it or feel like we're sweating. It needs to serve us, going back to my initial point. So your minutes can be achieved over the day or over the week. And that's our goal.
Well, I always say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Mm-hmm. And so this also goes hand in hand with nutrition. When you're thinking about, you know, your grocery shopping and maybe doing some meal prep, you're looking over the course of the week, you know, what's going to happen, and trying to fit things in based upon what your schedule is showing. So it's all about planning. Are you exhausted already about this whole issue of planning? Mm-hmm. You better not be. What do you do when you go get your hair done? You plan. You know what I'm talking about, girlfriends. We have priorities. And so when you're thinking about your hair, you're like, okay, you know, I got to have all these questions I want to ask my hairdresser about X, Y, and Z that went right or wrong. I want to change things up. I've spent hours dutifully looking everywhere to find out what hair color I want to play with or whatever. Yet, what do we do for our little nutrition and physical activity? Well, we better be applying the hair formula to that, because that's equally and most importantly, greater in terms of priority in your life, in your health.
I love that. I love that so much. The one piece that's so interesting is that you mentioned like the hair example, and that's such a great example to think about, because, you know, at the end of the day, There are times, though, when you go into the hairdresser and they're like, listen, that's great, but this isn't right for you. Or that looks great on that picture you're showing me, but your hair's different texture or style or weight to it, right? So these different pieces. And I think what we've learned over the years of finding the balance between planning, but also being flexible enough to know when it's time to pivot. And I think that's really important to acknowledge here is you do have to plan. We have to think about it. But it's that difference between being rigid and when that plan falls apart, just giving up on it versus being flexible enough to say, okay, it's okay. I can still get in a 10-minute lunch or I can still get up and move throughout my day and recognize that it's not a lost cause. If you're moving more than you did other than sitting, you've won. And I think that that difference between rigid planning versus flexible planning can really help you make a difference.
I thought of something else to pile on to this beautiful thought you just shared with us. So for years, my colleagues at Harvard, at the Harvard Mind-Body Institute, have been trying to get me to meditate. Okay, so I'm a triple, quadruple, quintuple A personality, in case you didn't know. You knew that already, Renee, because you've known me from ACSM. I'm all over the place, and I like to go fast. I'm a triathlete. I just, you know, let's get this show rocking here. And so to get me to calm down for a second and to understand what stillness was and just sort of be, I just sort of gave them a strange look like, huh? And so I'm being like beyond honest here. Yeah. So Herb Benson, the founder of the Harvard Mind-Body Institute, was one of my dearest friends. And so he said one day, he said, okay, Pam, I'm going to ask you to do this. And I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. And he goes, I'm just going to ask you to do it for 1 minute. I thought, and then something happened in my head. I said, 1 minute? Oh, heck, I can do that. You know, I mean, come on. Yeah. And so he had stealthful, strange ways about him. Yeah. He was going to trick me. I knew this. But so I said, 1 minute, I can do that. You know, kind of like sit up tall and you go, hell, yeah, I can do 1 minute. So you should close your eyes and then do the whole thing. You know, the relaxation response that he wrote his famous book about. So I started in and my eyes were closed. I didn't know what time it was. And I was like getting settled in there and it was kind of feeling okay. You know, I was, And then the next thing I knew, his voice came back and he was like, okay. And I thought, wow, that's a great minute. Yeah. And I looked down at the clock. It had been 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I looked at him in absolute shock. I said, what? 10 minutes? And he goes, yep. And he gave me the big wink. And I said, oh, man, I know exactly what you did. You messed with me.
Yeah.
And so there you go. Everybody, I think, in their mind, when they think of exercise, they're like, oh, it's so much work and you have to do this. And even physical activity, like get off your little female behind and move. But if you do it just literally for 1 minute, it's a joke. It's like, well, hell, I can do that. Then you kind of get macho about it. It's like, oh, I'm down with 10 minutes here, and then I'm down with 15, and it's a psychological play.
Sure.
And it's very nurturing, and it kind of works. So just kind of tuck that into your beautiful little feminine brain as we move forward. Okay, we got the M, the minutes, the O for over 3 to 5 days. What's V of move?
So we can talk about it. I like to use the word vary, and depending on who I'm talking to, we can talk about varying what you do. Or we can talk about varying the amount of time that you do it to what we were just talking about, because that 1 minute can really mean something. A lot can change in your body in 1 minute and in your mind. And I think that ability to vary your time is something that I love throwing this power at all of you. And every woman that I talk to is, this is yours. This is your choice in the moment. If it's 1 minute right now and that 1 minute is right for you and you feel fabulous and you notice that you just did something for yourself and stopping and saying, I just did something for myself for 1 minute. We don't always get a lot of those minutes for ourselves. So what a gift. And then to your point, we've seen in the literature over and over again that when we ask somebody to go out and take a 10-minute walk, guess what happens? They go for 15. So it's just getting out there and going and getting that momentum, right? We can get the science behind it and the physics and you start moving your body. But from a mental health standpoint, you have blood flowing up to your brain as well. So cognitively, you're going to feel better. We see changes in mood and elevation. We've known this for a long time, but there's really cool brain data coming out now too that says what happens when that blood starts flowing up to that brain. We're sharper. We're more in tune with what's happening. So when you think about all of the reasons why you say, I have all of this going on and I can't do this right now, that 1 minute of getting up and just moving your body may actually be what propels you forward in what you're about to do. So I really love thinking about varying your duration and being in control of it for what's right for you right now. Like I said, maybe it's the morning. You need to get up and start your day strong today, but tomorrow's different. You've got a set of meetings, and between every one of those meetings, you're going to do one of those 1 minute and stand up, stretch, move, or maybe you're going to meditate for that minute in your chair. Those are all activities. Everything that's active, there's a different levels of activity and intensities of activity, but you get the choice to vary your duration in the way that serves you the best.
Okay. I'm just so loving this. no, but the varying also gives women wiggle room. And this also helps fight against the tendency to be perfect.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, I'm on something very rigid. I have to be so perfect. It's like, no, stop it right now. Stop it. And what you do is you just soften up. Obviously, I'm someone who leads with self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And this is something I have to teach you people out there. You're like, well, I can be compassionate to the guy next door, and I can be compassionate mm-hmm. to some total stranger. Right. But myself, I'm not quite sure like where you're going with that. Well, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. You've got to literally put your hands over your heart and say, you know something, I'm a human being. I have beautiful, beautiful flaws in me that I just, you know, I embrace. I'm always 5 minutes late for everything, you know, that type of thing. And just say, hey, it's me. Yep. But now when it comes to physical activity, just simply get up and move, make it happen. And that's all you really need to do. When you do this, you mentioned that beautiful relationship with cognitive performance. Well, I'm going to tell you something else. And you already know this, Renee, but I'm going to tell everybody else. And that is through something called neurogenesis, that means you're making a whole lot more brain cells, those little neurons, you could actually grow larger parts of your brain. In other words, we look at the hippocampus. Mm-hmm. All right, now, what is the hippocampus all about? Memory is a huge piece of this. Yes. And we don't want to lose our marbles as we get older. So we've actually been able to measure what happens out of simple physical activity. I think the experiment was just simple walking mm-hmm. and measuring the hippocampus in the brain over time. And you actually saw it increase in size. And I'm like, okay, bring that down. I want to grow a larger brain. Yeah. Well, for every step you take, hello, new neurons. And that's the way that goes. All right.
So much of this has been done in the aging population as well, which is a reminder to everyone. And a good colleague of mine, Kirk Erickson, I've been involved with some of his projects and the cognitive changes related to exercise and design some of his interventions. But no matter what age, that's what's amazing about this is it's never that idea that, oh, well, I'm too far gone or, oh, well, absolutely not. This data is strong and we're seeing amazing changes across the lifespan. So it's never too late to ever feel like you're too far gone or it's not going to make an impact. Movement is powerful.
I love it. I love it. All right. Speaking of move, so we now are moving this along. We started with minutes for M, over 3 to 5 days for O, varying duration for V. Dun, 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 drum roll. What's the E?
Enjoyment. You need to enjoy what you're doing. And I think that that is the crux of all of this. And it goes way back to what I started with, is that it really needs to serve you, your physical activity, what you choose. And if you don't enjoy it, from our behavioral literature, we know it's not likely something you're going to continue to do. You're going to have that feeling of dread when it's time to get up and do it, if you decide to do it in the morning or after a long day, or you're going to find lots of other barriers and things are going to get in the way. And I'm not saying your barriers aren't real. I know we all have them. They are real. But our ability to be able to kind of, as my colleague John Jakisic says all the time, navigate the orange barrels that are put in front of us every day to get to where we need to go, whether it's through our physical activity or just surviving our day, right? If you don't enjoy that physical activity or look forward to it, it's going to be so much harder to muster up that energy at the end of the day. However, if that activity serves you, it empowers you, it makes you feel and function your best, or you notice what I like to say, the things that are very relevant to you, that are important to you changing, that's what matters. Our changes in VO2, or maybe even a number on the scale, or all the biological things that change, I study them all the time. They're really, really important. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes those aren't the things that are really important to us in the moment. It really comes down to, you know, can I pick up my grandkids? Can I keep up with my kids? Can I do all those activities every day that are put upon me to handle as a woman, right? And that we're responsible for? Do I feel good doing those? Or I just talked to an amazing woman the other day that was telling me, I just discovered boxing. And she goes, never, I am a quiet, shy introvert. Never would you see me being the person that would go boxing. But for the first time in my life, I felt empowered and in control for that 30 minutes that I went. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened. And I can't imagine not going boxing anymore. And so for me, it was like, we've hit a click. Something's happened with this person where it was like, I found something that not only I enjoy, but it helps me achieve something in my life beyond. And that's exercise serving that person. And not everybody's going to go boxing, right? But we all have this opportunity to find that method that really may help us be our best selves.
I love it. All right. Now that we have MOVE, we got it all, right? Now, you mentioned a little word there, and I bet it triggered just about everybody who's listening. Scale.
Yeah.
Said, well, then there's the scale thing. Okay, let's just quickly deal with this issue. Everyone out there knows that I'm a nutcase about this, mm-hmm. and that is I'm much more interested in the quality of your body. In other words, your body composition, than just in the quantity per se. I have plenty of people who have what you'd think were ideal quantities, and they have terrible body composition, relatively speaking, way low on their muscle, way high on their fat in terms of ratios, and their bones aren't doing well either. So let's go to that place, because when people are thinking about taking good care of themselves, they want some way to be able to quantify and watch over time. I don't mean like being OCD about this and making yourself a basket case, but you do want to be able to show some progress. I have my world famous close-o-meter, and that is for people who just don't want to get within 20 feet of a body weight scale. That's fine. You know, just grab the clothes that fit right now, nice and kind of snug, see where you are, and then look down to the next size, because you're a woman and you probably have 20 sizes in your closet. Don't lie to me. I know. Come on now. I know how this works. So, and then you just keep moving it along, because I got news for you, honey. If it's not fitting right now, there's not a lot of muscle getting in the way. So what you're doing is you're just getting healthier, pairing it to a body composition that works. So that's like a gentle way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And plus seeing numbers like I went from a 20 to an 18, from an 18 to a 16. Those are gentle numbers. Seeing a number like 265, not so gentle, but body comp numbers are more gentle in a big way. So what do you think, and what would you like to suggest with regard to body composition per se?
Yeah, it's a big topic, and we're doing a ton of research on this right now. And I've been involved in weight management trials for several years where we measure all the things. I mean, from high level DEXA scans down to anthropometric, just tape measure measurements. I love what you're talking about in terms of the clothing tests, because it gets back to that idea of feeling and functioning your best. You know how you feel in those clothes, and you also don't really function well when you're in that clothing that you may not like the way it fits. So that's a really healthy way to think about it, because again, a number on a scale is a number. And we've known for several years that the differences in the idea of using things like BMI, we're really letting go of this now, even in the weight loss literature. It's just a marker, you know, of something that really isn't always right. Body composition does tell you a lot more about potential health and the connection to health, because your point's right on. we can have a lot of fat and not enough muscle in our bodies and weigh exactly the same as someone that has a lot of muscle and a lot less fat. My work is really trying to help us move beyond just thinking about the quantities of the body composition per se. And I think that that's a place that, just like the number on the scale, we can get a little bit obsessed with as well. We've seen this in the literature with certain athletes and bodybuilders and things like that. And I want to be careful that I love seeing our field move towards body composition. I love seeing the world talking more about it. It's so, so, so important. But I also think we need to have the right conversations about it on the front end. And how do we talk about it in a healthy way? What are our expectations for when are we going to lose? Are we really going to pack on pounds of muscle? Absolutely not. Even with strong resistance training programs, and that varies across our age and range. So I think we have to not only talk about measuring it more often, but I think we also have to talk about how do we safely interpret that and put really positive expectations in place. So beyond that quantity measure, then my work's really starting to focus in on quality. Because anytime our body's changing, especially if we are on a weight loss trajectory, if that's one of our goals, we have to remember that sometimes we can lose tissue, even lean tissue, potentially muscle tissue. But at the end of the day, what's really important is that the tissue that we have is functioning at its very, very best and at its highest level. And that's where the physical activity makes a difference. Because we can try to hold on to as much lean tissue or muscle tissue in our body, but if it's not healthy tissue, it's not serving us again. It's not really helping us metabolically. It's not helping us get around and do all the things that we've been talking about. So while we talk about body composition, how much of what we have may be important, our research is starting to show, and where we're really starting to move it as a field, is that the quality of the tissue is really what's gold.
And, you know, I think what's going to have to happen too is the fact that we need to have better ways to help the consumer interpret this stuff.
Sure.
You're going to end up with a body fat percentage. Most of the women I work with freak out when they see that. You know, they'd like to say 18%. They're like, no. If you're an elite athlete, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I can go with that. Or if you're super young and you're extremely active, et cetera. But body fat percentage of your total body changes fairly significantly over time. And those people who obviously are more physically active and are really keeping up with their strength training, et cetera, they're going to see changes that are not radical. There may be some changes, you know, there's no question about that. But, you know, when you see like 30% body fat, you know, you're like, oh, what does that actually mean? Am I going to drop dead tomorrow? Is this like, am I wall-to-wall inflammation in my body? No, there's like a full context that goes on. Like, how old are you? Mm-hmm. What else is going on in your body medically and otherwise? And are we actually optimizing as best we can based upon your individual nuances one way or the other? The other question I get all the time is, all right, so, hey, Dr. Peak, I just found out, you know, I went to Joe Blow gym and they did the bioimpedance. Most of you guys like hold that thing and, or it's a step up and hold the thing kind of equipment. It really just depends. And they say, wow, you know, so here's the gig. I am 5'6". I weigh 160 pounds. I'm a woman, I'm 50 years old, and my lean body mass, it says lean body mass, right? LBM is 80 pounds. Is that good? Okay. And then you're like, uh-oh, this is going to get hairy. And it's a really good question because I bet you the grand majority of consumers out there, especially women, have absolutely no idea what a normal lean body mass is. I mean, are you supposed to hit triple digits? You know, yeah. I mean, is 80 like horrible? Is it good? I mean, and by the way, this person I just described, she works out. She's certainly not an elite athlete or anything, but she knows she's hitting the bar class and she does some of the group fitness lifting stuff. And, but she's not like wedded to the gym or something. And yet she's responsible. She's a good person. So she wants to know if she's okay. All right, Renee, take it away.
Yeah, I think the first thing, and I always say this to anyone that I'm talking to about body composition, is like you said, it's great that we're moving this way as a field. But a couple things to keep in mind is your body composition, first off, does not change overnight. And it is going to take some sustained changes in your lifestyle to move the needle. So if you're going to a gym or you're working with someone and they're measuring your body composition on a weekly or a monthly basis, you need to pause for a second. And technically, that's probably not what we should be doing, right? It's almost like overweighing with the scale. We can get into negative habits and anything, but the likelihood that things are going to change, number one, there's some problems there. So let's be clear on that. This isn't something that you measure all the time. In fact, for a lot of our studies, we're looking at 3 to 6 months, you know, until we look at these different things. And then I think we got to look at it as, again, going back to that tissue, it's so funny because when you just look at body composition by itself, it is helpful, but everyone's baseline, that first time they get measured, is you. And I think we need to stop and say, this is me, this is where I'm at, this is where things stand right now. You know, keep it nice and simple. But then on the other side of it, it's the next time you come back, it's looking at the numbers and looking at the comparison, and then realistically talking about the work that was done in terms of making those changes. Because we can't say this is the perfect range, this is where you can be. Certain devices are going to compare you to the normative data for your racial ethnic group, whether you're male, female, your age bracket, that's appropriate. Potentially hydration status, if it's using the right model, should be included in that. But the reality is how you change over time is what's probably a better indicator, not, hey, I just did this one time. But what I really recommend is that we're not just measuring the quantity, which is that composition. We're also pairing that with strength measures or fitness measures or physical function measures. Because again, that goes back to how is that tissue performing at the end of the day? Is your cardiorespiratory fitness, your energy levels, your stamina, is that tissue performing the way that it needs to? If you take your body composition and you compare it to these quality factors, now you're getting a sense of what does this number mean to me personally? And that is what I think is really, really important in all of this, because you could have a lot of lean tissue. Some of that may be muscle. That's only one part of it. But you take that tissue and you're still noticing that you're extraordinarily fatigued. You have a hard time lifting certain objects up, or you notice that you're experiencing pain or not functioning at your best. Well, that tissue is not performing at its very best. So now it sounds like we need to formulate some kind of a prescription for you that matches you and your needs so that you're functioning your very best.
I love it. And you're really bringing this home to something very important as we're kind of winding this up. And that is, when you see these numbers, you've got to pair them with performance.
Oh, yeah.
And functionality. The numbers all by themselves are useless. Did you get stronger? How are you actually looking? You know, do something radical, like, you know, look at yourself. you know, and everyone's different.
Yes.
So there's a huge genetic predisposition when it comes to muscularity. I'm one of these, you know, I'm a triathlete. I look like a triathlete. I'm a very strong person. And my muscle mass has always been in triple digits. And it's just the way my father's side of the family was built. And we're very fortunate in that regard. You know, you take a Somalian, there's just no way they're ever going to be like, you know, a power lifter. It's just not happening.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, the Somalis are unbelievable runners, mm-hmm. and they could just run like gazelles, and the power lifter's kind of like left in the dust. So you have to sit down and have a little conversation with yourself. Like, what am I? Who am I?
Yeah.
Look at your family members, see where you are yourself, and just begin to do that. U101, which now, as we swing to the end of this fantastic podcast, Renee, I could talk to you forever. So you are tagged as a repeat offender now with the Her podcast, because this is so cool. I'm hoping that all of you out there in the Her podcast land have really picked up on the fact that MOVE is where it is at. I don't care what you do, just get up off your feminine behinds and move. And do it in the way that Dr. Renee Rogers, an expert in the field, has outlined for you. And be gentle with yourself and lead with self-compassion. And always, always know that this is a mind and body play. That's the way it works. The playbook is mind and body. They are inextricably intertwined. And that's the way it's always going to be. So that's what I happen to think. So Renee, you are just absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. This has been so wonderful. And we'll tag you up for a whole lot more because you sound like a little fount of knowledge that we could all use, especially with your current research. So I want to thank you on behalf of all the happy campers with the HER podcast. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
All right. Now, run on over to iTunes right now. Rate and review this show because we love your feedback. So click on iTunes, rate and review the show. I want to hear from you. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. Run on over to Solaray.com. Use promo code HER20. Oh, man, this has been another amazing HER podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our HER podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about moi. Join me every week for another HER podcast where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders like Dr. Renee Rogers, as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. And please remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Carpe diem. Have a great one, everyone.